start this drive on a really strong standing. And you can make that difference by making your phone call. Pledge at the $75 level if you prefer. And you can choose the one-year digital subscription of Extra. And remember to give your email for that. Also, you might pledge for the anniversary celebration DVD of the fair's 25th anniversary, but we've really focused primarily on the power principle. That's three DVD set for your $200 pledge. 516-620-3602 is the number to call to make your pledge of support, to support WBAI as we are in this really significant transitional period. And we are reaching out to you because you are the ones that we serve. You are the reason we're here. You are as much a part of this partnership, maybe more than all of us who work on this side of the mic. We can't do it without your support. 516-620-3602 is the number to call, and the amount we're asking you to support us is a $200 pledge, and this is a $200 pledge to support WBAI, but you are also going to be able to create for yourself the opportunity to be an educator, to take this information, to share it, to pass it on. That's the power of this pledge. We understand that you're supporting the radio station with your pledge of $200. It's making it possible for us to keep the tower on the Empire State Building, to keep broadcasting at this signal. That's what you're providing us when you make that pledge. But we're also looking at you as one of us, one of the workers who's out there who wants to spread the information, who wants to educate people. You know, make some copies of this DVD, give it to your friends and your coworkers, but tell them to tune in to 99.5 FM. That's really what you're allowing yourself to do, to be part of the force that's going to make a change in this world. And we can each be empowered to do that. First, by showing your support. Second, by sharing the information. 516-620-3602 is the number to call.
516-620-3602. It's looking like we're going to have to be wrapping up. So I want just to thank you so very much, listeners, for calling up. Keep those calls coming in. The Power Principle, it is yours. Three DVD set, make as many copies as you like. It is yours for a contribution of $200. And you can put it on your Visa, MasterCard, American Express. Do your payment plan through your credit card. That would be wonderful. 516-620-3602. I want to thank Ife. Thank you so very much for all your wonderful work. I want to thank Kathy Davis for joining me. I'm Christine Blasdale. Stay tuned for more Fun Drive programming coming your way right here on WBAI 99.5.
Hi, this is Jake Sufnarowski, former talent buyer at Wetlands Preserve. When I'm not driving my gas guzzling SUV, texting my friends in my handheld mobile device, or listening to my local Clear Channel affiliate, I'm definitely tuned to WBAI, listener supported non-commercial radio in New York City, 99.5 FM.
On the very day of September 11, several commentators drew a parallel with the historical events of Pearl Harbor.
And it's a day that will, as was the case with Pearl Harbor, live in infamy in American history.
The last time there was an attack like this on the United States was Pearl Harbor.
Reminiscent of another terrible day, the attack on Pearl Harbor.
But there was also someone on the same day who offered a prediction.
After the attack on Pearl Harbor, guess what we did? We went back and found out that, yes, the evidence was there. We should have known. And again, I think what we're going to see, even in this instance, this Pearl Harbor of the 21st century is very much the same kind of thing.
In fact, the more information that has been emerging about September 11, the more we have come to realize that many different aspects of the two events bear a chilling resemblance to each other.
That was a clip from a brand new documentary, 5 hours in length. It's actually three DVDs. It's called September 11, The New Pearl Harbor. Hello, everyone. I am Christine Blasdale, and I'm very, very happy to be bringing to you a brand new film that has been taking, it's been in the process of being worked on for many years, but it summarizes at least 10 years of public debate on September 11th, and this film is mostly aimed at those of you who have not had a chance to follow the debate from up close, as it presents every major argument in the debate from both sides of the fence. On the one side, we have folks, they loosely called the 9/11 truthers or 9/11 truth movement, but there is no organization. These are people all across the globe who have a serious problem or many problems with the official account, the government's official account of 9/11. And they include architects and engineers for 9/11 truth. There are several, I think it's close to 2,000 experts who have 20, 30, 40 years as architects and as engineers, as forensic engineers, who say that those buildings, there is no way the law of physics could not explain how those buildings came down in such a fast fashion, and with everything being pulverized, and in particular, not one, not two, but three buildings, also World Trade Center 7. These experts in buildings, in construction, and in demolition say that they have a very hard time with the official story. Now, that's one side, right? And so you have that one side who is like, hey, let's open up and we just want to have another investigation. We want to ask some questions, because that day also set forth an eternal war of terror, took away so many of our civil liberties that we see happening now. It launched the NSA to spy on us, everything from emails, phone calls, internet activity, all of it, taking away habeas corpus. Indefinite detention is now okay. All of that going on from that one day. Well, there's a lot of folks that have a problem with that story. Now, there is also the other side. There are, of course, the folks who embrace the official version. These are called the debunkers. And in this three DVD set, you're going to get to hear from both sides. You're going to get to hear what the problems are with the different issues, the myriad of things that happened on that day that were so coincidental, by the way. Everything from multiple war games going on that exact same day to the unique law of physics being broken as far as those buildings coming down, to you name it, all of the stuff that was happening in the World Trade Center prior to 9/11. This three DVD set is brand new. It is absolutely riveting. I don't care what side of the fence you're on. I don't care if you're a doubter, if you believe every single thing that the government has told you about this, if you believe Dick Cheney and George Bush, then great for you. But I challenge you to watch this three DVD set, 5 hours, and it goes, and it's absolutely intriguing because it covers everything. It is not long and boring at all. It is available to you right now by calling 516-620-3602, and it's brought to us by Massimo Mazzucco, who did the Great Lies of History 5 DVD set, which has done tremendously well during these fund drives. This brand new DVD, though, the new Pearl Harbor is 3 DVD set, I'm sorry. The new Pearl Harbor is available to you for a $150 contribution. And the best news is Massimo says that you can make multiple copies of it. You can hand it out freely. So it's not like you're getting three DVDs. It's like you're getting 300 or 3,000 DVDs or 3 million DVDs, because you can make as many copies of this as you like to hand out freely. A mere $150 contribution or $12.50 a month. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. We have that level of $150 that you can pledge your support for. Or if you can pledge more and you want to get a lot of information, I'm talking about 8 DVDs in all, we have the Great Lies Dollar a Day Super Pack, which is a $365 contribution. $365, it's going to get you all 8 DVDs. That means the new Pearl Harbor 3 DVD set, which is just hot off the press. Oh, by the way, you are the only people on the planet who have the ability to get this 3 DVD set. Massimo is not making this available to anyone else. It's not available for several months now. And only you can get it right now, right here. You can't find it on the internet. You can't, you know, there's no way. You're not going to get it on Amazon. You can't get it anywhere else but right here. So this is an exclusive to you. And he is offering this to you in hopes that you will call up and pledge support to the one network that allows programmers and producers such as myself to merely question authority, to merely question the official version. I don't know what happened that day. I know that there's a lot of things that happen that I have some serious problems with. Okay? I don't believe everything the government tells me. When they say that they don't spy on American citizens, guess what? I knew that a long time ago. I was like, really? Okay. And look what we've found out since because of whistleblowers. But when you see this 3-DVD set, September 11th, the new Pearl Harbor, you will see repeatedly major, major issues of concern about the official story. We've only been told very little in the corporate media. As a matter of fact, we've been told exactly what the military-industrial complex wants us to know. Put us in fear. Don't question. How dare you even question what's going on? But after you watch this documentary, I think you will have many, many questions, such as I did. The best news, you can make copies of it, and it's available only here right now, $150 for the 3-DVD set. If you want to get the Great Lies Dollar a Day Super Pack, again, it's $365. You get the brand new documentary, plus you get the Great Lies 5-DVD set. Every single one of those DVDs in those eight, you can make copies of to hand out freely. So, again, 516-620-3602. We're going to go now to a clip from this 3-DVD set, September 11, the new Pearl Harbor. In this clip, you're going to hear, this is talking about the World Trade Center buildings. And the fact that, and this is what's really important, if you could rewind your mind, okay, go back. We were told that when the plane hit the buildings, the planes hit the buildings, that's what caused the intense fire up way high up there, caused the buildings to pancake. But if you remember, Lower Manhattan was, there was pulverized concrete. There was nothing but dust everywhere. Steel beams were ejected, heavy steel beams were ejected hundreds of feet laterally. And there were witnesses that never got covered on corporate media, only on radio networks like Pacifica have we even allowed these voices to go on the air. But there were eyewitnesses that were there that day. We're talking about people that worked in the buildings for years who said that they heard and felt several explosions prior to the buildings being hit by the planes, prior to the buildings collapsing. We even hear from New York's finest, the brave firefighters and emergency personnel who made it out, okay? There were many who perished that day. And the reason why this is so important to me is because of those people who did perish that day. This is something I think that is so very important to get out there, because this is about their lives and about the truth and seeking the truth. And this clip we're going to play, like I said, you're going to hear from this in this clip from the documentary. It's a fantastic documentary. Again, for those of you who want to see both sides, the debunkers and the truthers, this is it. And it is 5 hours in length, 3 DVDs, September 11th, the new Pearl Harbor, yours for a $150 contribution by calling 516-620-3602. Let's listen now to a clip from September 11th, the new Pearl Harbor.
The fact is, most of the explosions were reported by firefighters and policemen, and no one knows how to recognize an explosion in a burning building better than they do.
As we were getting our gear on and making our way to the stairway, there was a heavy-duty explosion. Everybody just started running for the door. Everybody was trapped.
New York's bravest never had a chance.
We really never even got that close to the building. The explosion blew and it knocked everybody over.
The whole time you're hearing boom, 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 so I think I know an explosion when I hear it.
In August 2005, the New York Times published 12,000 pages of oral histories rendered in the voices of 503 firefighters and emergency personnel who were present at the Trade Center on September 11. Over 100 of them, one-fifth of the total, has reported explosions in the buildings prior or during the collapses. Regular citizens also seem quite capable of telling an explosion from a simple object falling to the ground.
Something, either they blew the lobby up or something, because it blew the glass out of the doors and knocked us all down, and I got smoke and everything on me. I just feel a little shook up because I got blasted, you know. So.
Before proceeding, one thing should be known about controlled demolitions. Just like the Twin Towers, most modern buildings are built with a high redundancy factor in terms of structural strength. For this reason, a series of preliminary explosions is normally needed in controlled demolitions to weaken the structure before the actual collapse can be induced. Obviously, in the case of the Twin Towers, it would not have been possible to set off the preliminary explosions all at once, just before the collapse. To make them less noticeable, it would have been wise to set them off at separate intervals, any time between the impacts of the planes and the collapse of the towers. For this reason, it's important to keep in mind the exact chronology of the events. 8:46, first impact into the North Tower. 9:03, second impact into the South Tower. 9:59, collapse of the South Tower. 10:28, collapse of the North Tower. 5:20 in the afternoon, collapse of Building 7. Witnesses normally call first explosion the one that came with the impact of the planes, while they call secondary explosions all those that took place in separate moments between the impacts of the planes and the collapse of the two towers.
We got that first secondary explosion really got us spooked because we were in the building.
Then there's those secondary explosions and then the subsequent collapses.
We've heard reports of secondary explosions after the aircraft impacted.
According to several witnesses, there was a secondary explosion that took place in the basement of the North Tower just before the plane hit the building.
At 8:30, he says he was headed to level B4 in Tower 1, four stories below ground.
I go downstairs. The foreman tells me to go to remove the containers. As I'm walking by the main freight car of the building in the corridor, that's when I got blown. I mean, the impact of the explosion of whatever happened, it threw me to the floor.
Morelli then remembers a second explosion, separate from the first.
I was racing, I was going towards a bathroom. All of a sudden, I opened the door, I didn't know it was a bathroom, and all of a sudden, a big impact happened again, and all the ceiling tile was falling down, the light fixtures were falling.
According to the 9/11 Commission, it was the jet fuel pouring down the elevator shafts that caused the explosion in the basement. From the final report we read, a jet fuel fireball erupted upon impact and shot down at least one bank of elevators. The fireball exploded onto numerous lower floors, including the B4 level, four stories below the ground. But the witnesses described an explosion that took place in the basement before the impact of the plane.
Very strong. Boom! An explosion so hard that pushed us upwards. Upwards. And it came from the basement between the B2 level and the B3 level. And at that moment, I thought it was the mechanical room where they have all the pumps and the generators for the building that maybe a generator just blew up on the basement. Now, 20 years in the building, you know something that comes from the bottom and something that comes from the top. And when I went to verbalize that it was a generator, we hear, boom, all the way on the top, the impact of the plane on the top. Two different events, two different times.
There are others who remember several explosions after the one from below.
It came from, I believe, at first we believed that it came from the mechanical room. Then we heard a series of other explosions that sounded up on the above levels of the building.
I was in the B4 level, and on my way, I heard a bomb. So I says, probably a transformer again blew up. So I stepped back, finished what I had to finish, and I started towards the door again. And there come a big blast with a big ball of fire.
The two separate explosions were recorded at a distance of about 9 seconds from each other during a business meeting that was taking place in a building nearby, One Liberty Plaza.
What the heck was that?
Is that the Encore?
Sally, something crashed.
Yes, he heard something crash. That was the plane actually hitting the building. But before the plane even hit the building, there was an explosion. Now, you don't have to be Sherlock Holmes or Watson to realize that there is something disturbing about that fact. We're not talking one eyewitness either, folks. We're talking about several people in the building. Luckily, William Rodriguez made it out, barely. But he talks about, and he's been willing to testify, he's been willing to talk to anybody who will listen, but corporate media will not listen to him. Nobody wants to talk to these eyewitnesses. Wonder why? Because what he says flies in the face of what we have been told. He says that there was an explosion, and many others say that there was an explosion in the basements prior to the plane even hitting the building. Then once the plane hit the building, firefighters who were already inside, business people who were already inside, said that they heard multiple explosions going off all over the place. Something stinks here. And all people are asking is for a new investigation to look into this. How many years have we had this war on terrorism? How many trillions of dollars have been spent? How many lives have been lost? We're talking over 1 million people in Iraq, Afghanistan. We don't even know how many people. Shock and awe. We have created so many people who are so terrified of us. We have spent our entire treasury on a military-industrial complex, on homeland security, on taking away the rights of every single citizen. We have spent so much money and lives. That's the most important thing. And if there are questions, if there are events that happened that day that should be asked, why were there multiple war games? Where was Dick Cheney? Where was Donald Rumsfeld when all this happened? Why was it that the Pentagon, the day before, on September 10th, and you can Google this if you want, why was it on September 10th that Donald Rumsfeld went on, he actually had a press conference and says, well, the Pentagon can't account for like $2.3 trillion, but you know, it's we're working on. What? Excuse me? Hold the press. Wait, what? You're talking about over $2 trillion with a T? T-T-T-T? Trillion? It's missing? You can't account for it? You don't know what happened to it? Then the next day, guess what? September 11th happened, and nobody ever asked him about it again. There was one woman, Cynthia McKinney, who was brave enough to even ask him about it. And when she did, he looked at her like, how dare you? Yeah. September 11th, the new Pearl Harbor. This is a 3-DVD set. You have got to get your hands on it. It is very, very important. It's a $150 contribution, $12.50 a month. $12.50 a month, 516-620-3602. I'm only touching the surface. This is 5 hours long, folks. You cannot get this DVD set anywhere else. There's 3 DVDs in all. It is available only to you, the Pacifica listener. Massimo Mazzucco, the filmmaker, has put this together for you. You cannot find it anywhere else on the planet. It is only available to you, the Pacifica listener, right now. 516-620-3602. It will not be available to anyone else for several months now. You can get the very first copies right now. 516-620-3602. And the best news is you can make multiple copies of it to hand out freely. So when you get this information and you think this is something that's important, I don't know, the fact that we have been lied to for so many times. There is a reason why this is called the new Pearl Harbor, folks. Find out why. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. I want to go back to another clip because it's very, very important. And in particular, in this clip, it's wonderful. Amy Goodman was smart enough to actually have sort of a on-air debate with the debunkers, and then also with some filmmakers who have done prior documentaries, questioning what's going on with 9/11, and they had some very big concerns. And I'm really glad that she did that, because we need to open up that dialogue. I'm not going to tell you how to think. I'm not going to tell you what to believe. I would never do that. But I think you have the right. You have the right to find out what the different stories are. You have the right to find out what the contradictions are. What are the problems in the explanation from the official government explanation of what happened that day? You have that right. This clip that we're going to play, actually, you're going to hear the debunkers sort of, you know, well, they're not going to answer the question. We heard in the prior clip that there were several eyewitnesses that heard explosion going off before the plane even hit the building, which is bizarre. That means a lot, that the fact that there was something that was happening in the basement. But let's listen now to another clip from this incredible 3-DVD set. It is yours for a $150 pledge, $12.50 a month, available nowhere else but only by calling this number, 516-620-3602. Just ask for the new Pearl Harbor. It's 3 DVDs, over 5 hours in length, and you can make as many copies as you like. 516-620-3602. Let's listen to more from this incredible documentary.
When faced with this precise question, the editors of Popular Mechanics chose not to answer it and fell back on the generic explanation of the jet fuel in the elevator shafts.
Ask what your guys' explanation is for Willie Rodriguez's testimony that he heard, experienced, and his coworkers were actually burned by an explosion in the basement of the North Tower prior to the plane hitting. And this has been verified by at least 20 different eyewitnesses.
Jim Meggs of Popular Mechanics.
When the plane struck the buildings, they penetrated the internal core. Jet fuel poured down stairwells and elevator shafts, setting off secondary explosions, not to mention the horrific impact of these fully loaded planes hitting the structure and causing an enormous swing.
It's interesting to note, too, that the
you still didn't address the fact that it was before
Empire State Building crash back in 1945.
But the explanation of the jet fuel in the elevator shafts has several problems of its own. First of all, there were no regular elevators connecting the basement to the top levels of the towers. Each tower consisted of 3 separate buildings, built on top of one another, each with their own elevator system. There were only 2 elevators connecting the lobby to the 44th and 78th floor. But the plane struck on the 95th floor, which means the fuel could not have poured down these elevator shafts. There were only 2 banks of elevators that went all the way from the basement to the top of the towers, and they were mostly used by maintenance people. In one of these elevators was Arturo Griffith.
Well, I was on my way from B2 to 49th floor.
Not only didn't Griffith get cremated by this supposed ball of fire, but he also remembers 3 separate explosions.
And there was a loud explosion and the elevator dropped. When the elevator finally stopped, they had an explosion that bring the doors inside the elevator. And then they had another explosion on the panel that threw me, you know, against the wall.
Most importantly, the theory of the jet fuel in the elevator shafts fails to take into consideration the volumes involved. Each tower had an approximate volume of 2,160,000 cubic yards. The planes that hit the towers carried an estimated 10,000 gallons of fuel each at the time of impact. 10,000 gallons is the equivalent of 50 cubic yards. This in-scale graphic shows what 50 cubic yards look like next to the volume of the tower. Assuming that about half of the fuel was consumed in the initial explosion, we would be left with some 25 cubic yards of fuel available. But most of this fuel is needed to ignite the fires at different floors, as explained by Mr. Meggs himself.
Jets crashed into buildings. They crashed at an angle, which meant that their wings, which is where they store most of their fuel, cut through multiple floors. So they splashed fuel and debris across multiple floors of the building, igniting fires.
So even assuming that, for some strange reason, 5 of those cubic yards were all to end up in the only elevator shaft that goes all the way to the bottom of the tower, there wouldn't be enough to reach the basement in significant quantities. Your typical 10-foot by 30-inch backyard pool contains roughly 1,000 gallons of water, which is the equivalent of 5 cubic yards. Imagine dumping the water from this pool into this kind of elevator shaft with a drop of more than 1,000 feet below, and you'll get the idea of how much fuel can actually reach the bottom. In any case, the fuel in the elevator shafts theory could never account for the powerful explosion that literally devastated the lobby of the North Tower 1 hour after the first impact and before the collapse of the South Tower.
It was a secondary explosion, probably a device either planted before or on the aircraft that did not explode until an hour later.
Then somebody said that they saw an airliner going to one of those towers. Then, an hour later than that, we had that big explosion from much low. I don't know what on earth caused that.
In fact, these firemen reported 3 large explosions in Tower 1, which took place after the plane's impact. They also confirmed it was the 3rd explosion to devastate the lobby of the tower.
It was an explosion. It was in the lobby.
the third explosion, the whole lobby collapsed on us.
What you told me is that there was a plane or whatever hit the building, then a secondary explosion.
It was like three explosions after that. We came in after the fire. We came when the fire was going on already. We was in the staging area inside the building, waiting to go upstairs. And they exploded. The whole lobby collapsed on the lobby inside.
It took these witnesses about 1 hour to walk down from the 82nd floor to the lobby of the North Tower after the impact of the plane.
We got to the first floor from 82nd floor.
We stuck on the stairs for a while. We finally got down to the lobby. Then we get to the lobby, it was this big explosion. I don't know if
everything went
just like what you just seen. That's what we went through before we came out of the building. Then when we get out the building, then another smoke cloud came.
A similar story here. The long descent from Tower 1 and the big explosion in the lobby.
It was like holy hell coming down them stairs. And then when we finally got to the bottom, they were coming out on a mezzanine level there, and another explosion came right from it, because everyone flying.
Yet another similar story.
Big boom, come down the steps, everything fine till we got to the basement, and everything just fell in. I got trapped in there when another guy crawled out. Kept getting hit in the head, bags sold around, finally clawed our way out over the rubble.
The situation in the lobby was such that there was no doubt on what had happened.
The ladies that are with me were in the World Trade Center in the first building and escaped through the lobby, where they report they believe there was a bomb in the lobby.
We ran down the steps to the lobby. There was no lobby. Everything was torn up.
We came outside the lobby. There was no lobby. The lobby was totally gone.
Those are eyewitnesses that were there on September 11th in the lobby. They had made their way out, and they explain exactly what they saw. This is very, very important information. It is over 5 hours in length. It talks about all of the contradictions, all of the major questions. And in particular with the buildings, you have to know, you need to know that there are close to 2,000 professional architects, engineers, structural engineers, who are saying that they have a great deal of problems with the official account of that day, because they know how buildings go up. They build them, for crying out loud. Steel reinforced buildings do not collapse and pulverize into dust because of a mere few fires on floors way, 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 way up. They are telling you that those buildings had help going down. They are telling you that you need to look at this information. And for me, you know, I don't have a problem with people calling me a kook, a conspiracy nut, a tinfoil hat wearing, blah, 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 blah. I don't care. The reason why this is so important, the reason why I want to question what's going on, not only because these professional architects and engineers are saying those buildings should never, ever, ever come down the way that they did, but it's because of all those people that perished that day. Those people that perished that day, their lives have been used to launch an eternal war. An eternal global war for empire. They wanted to pin all this immediately on Saddam Hussein. Do you know that right before they invaded Iraq, 70% of Americans believed that Saddam Hussein had something to do with 9/11? That's the power of the corporate military industrial complex media. 70% of Americans thought that Saddam Hussein had something to do with 9/11, because that is the parroting chatterbox that is corporate media, that the administration at the time was putting out there because they wanted to go to war with Saddam Hussein. We found out that the weapons of mass destruction thing was a lie. We have found out that when they say that they don't spy on Americans is a lie, even if they perjure themselves in court and they swear to tell the truth, they lie. But on this day, so many people just take whatever the government says at face value and say, okay, I believe you, because the alternative is too scary. But all those people that perished that day, they deserve to have the truth told. They deserve to have some people come out and say, not in my name, not in my loved one's name, not in our name will you continue this. The only way to expose this is to get this out there. We have a documentary that is 5 hours long that goes through everything from that day and the events leading up to that day. It covers every single aspect. It is not boring. It's engaging. It talks about both sides, the debunkers and the truthers. It talks about all of these contradictions that were happening that day. And it is available to you. This is an exclusive to you. It is not available to anyone else on this planet. It is only available to you right now. 3 DVDs in all. September 11, the new Pearl Harbor. When you call this number up, I want you to say you want the new Pearl Harbor. All 3 DVDs, you can make as many copies of those as you like. The filmmaker says, go ahead, make copies and hand it out freely. It's a $150 contribution for all those DVDs. You can make a payment plan of $12.50 a month. Call this number right now, 516-620-3602. It's from Massimo Mazzucco, the man who brought you The Great Lies of History, a 5 DVD set that has been so very popular here on Pacifica. I want you also to know that in addition, if you can pledge at $150 and get the 3 DVD set, that's awesome. We want your calls right now at 516-620-3602. But if you're able to pledge a dollar a day, we have something called the Great Lies Dollar a Day Super Pack. This is 8 DVDs in all. This is going to get you, of course, the brand new Pearl Harbor, the Pearl Harbor 3 DVD set, not available anywhere else. It gets you that, but it also gets the other 5 DVD set from Massimo Mazzucco, The Great Lies of History, which has The New American Century, Cancer, The Forbidden Cures, The Second Dallas, Who Killed RFK, The True History of Marijuana, what an amazing documentary that is, UFOs and the Military Elite. All of those DVDs are included in The Great Lies Dollar a Day Super Pack for a $365 contribution. It's $30.42 a month. All 8 of those DVDs, by the way, you are allowed to make copies of to hand out freely to family and friends. So pledge at the $150 level, get the brand new 3 DVD set, the new Pearl Harbor, not available anywhere else. Or at the $365 level, get the Great Lies Dollar a Day Super Pack. 8 DVDs in all for $365 or $30.42 a month. I want to get back to more clips because this is the whole reason why, you know, the importance of you supporting this network and the importance of you supporting this radio station is that it allows us the freedom to play these clips. You know as well as I do that if I worked for ABC, NBC, CBS, or even some of those so-called public radio stations, there is no way that I would be able to play these clips. There is no way that you would be actually able to hear from eyewitnesses that were actually there that day that tell you what was going on. There is no way that this content would be able to go out over the airwaves. The only reason why is because we're listener sponsored. We're beholden to you, the listeners. And for so many years, you have kept us alive and allowed us to do that. This is a very critical time. We are so close to the abyss. We are so close to closing these doors and not being able to hear this content ever, ever again. I'm not kidding. That's why your contribution is so important right now. Please give us a call. If you can pledge more than the $150 for the 3 DVD set or more than $365 for the 8 DVD set, I encourage you right now, be an angel and pledge $1,000 or $5,000. Saying to the world, saying to this network, I appreciate the fact, damn it, that you get to cover this kind of thing and you get to even talk about it. Call right now, 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602. Do not forget, we don't have that much time left. You're not going to be able to get this 3 DVD set anywhere else. Not for several months. This is being made available to you, the Pacifica listener, right now for a $150 pledge, 5 hours of content, 3 DVDs, the new Pearl Harbor. Do not miss out on this opportunity because once it's gone, it's gone. Take advantage right now. Okay, we're going to go back to another clip. Oh, this one is very interesting because as the architects and engineers, like I said, over 2,000 of them have said that fires on a few floors is not enough to pulverize a high-rise steel-reinforced building and, you know, into absolute dust. Sorry, this doesn't happen. Another aspect of it is that there were lateral ejections of steel beams, which are very, very, very heavy, okay, that were sent out, I mean, at incredible speeds, ejected laterally from the towers. And there were also some very interesting things that that people, eyewitnesses who were there, noticed about the building once it did come down. I want you to listen to this clip, and I want you to keep the calls coming in. This is absolutely critical for so many of us who really have a hard problem with the official story. And if you're someone who questions it, if you're someone who's sitting on the fence, if you're someone who's a doubter, if you're someone who believes the official story, I challenge you right now to get this 3-DVD set, watch it in its entirety, and then we'll talk. Okay. 516-620-3602. Let's listen now to September 11, The New Pearl Harbor, 3 DVDs, yours, by calling 516-620-3602.
The result of such explosive force is the lateral ejection of large chunks of the external structure all around the towers.
The spread of debris in a large radius around each tower. What we see is an outward explosion of material beyond the perimeters of each footprint.
FEMA has documented a 1,200-foot diameter debris area around each tower where major chunks of the buildings were found. This means that parts of the structure were ejected laterally at a distance twice as large as the width of the tower itself.
Large, multi-ton beams were hurled hundreds of yards laterally. Gravity works vertically, not laterally.
The debunkers contend that the material ejected laterally was only the aluminum foil covering the structure, not the steel beams themselves.
Ces éléments qui sont là, certains disent, vous vous rendez compte, des poutres qui font plusieurs tonnes. Non. Ça, c'est pas des poutres qui font plusieurs tonnes, c'est tout simplement le parement qui était prévu sur les tours, qui était des plaques d'aluminium qui étaient collées sur les poutres en acier. Les poutres en acier, elles sont là, et là. Et ça, c'est juste des choses très légères qui ont volé, tout, comme tout à l'heure, ma touillette à café. Voilà. Voilà.
Kiran is mistaken. The chunks of material being hurtled hundreds of feet away are not just aluminum covering. They are the same prefabricated blocks of steel structure used to build the two towers. In this case, a person who has remained attached to a block of columns falling can give us an idea of the size and weight of the structural pieces being detached from the building.
Several large chunks of structure ended up embedded in the buildings nearby.
David Chandler of Architects and Engineers has calculated the energy needed to hurdle some of these chunks of structure to such a distance from the buildings.
Using special software, we can analyze motion on video clips frame by frame. I have placed markers on each frame so we can track a particular projectile. From the markers, we can get a data table and plot various graphs. The data here shows that the object we were tracking was shot horizontally at over 70 miles per hour. The energy needed to hurl a 4-ton girder at this speed is comparable to the energy needed to hurl a 200-pound cannonball 3 miles.
Question. Given that the falling upper sections of the towers had no additional energy to destroy the healthy structure below, where did the energy to hurdle these large chunks of structure at such a distance from the towers come from? Once the smoke had settled and the recovery work commenced, more evidence pointing at controlled demolitions started to emerge. One example are the supporting columns cut at a 45-degree angle that were noticed sticking out of the ground. This kind of cut is typical of controlled demolitions and is obtained by placing linear charges on the columns at a 45-degree angle.
Now this is a linear-shaped charge, and it's wired in with the dynamite. When it cuts, it'll cut this column right on this angle, and then this piece will be deflected and displaced in that direction.
Some of those cuts on the larger chunks of the structure, called candlesticks, were made by iron workers during the removal operations. But cut columns were noticed on the very evening of September 11, far before the removal operations had started.
You know, this is the first day in a pile. You know, actually, it was on the 11th. It was 8 o'clock at night, and we had a hunt for iron workers. But meanwhile, there was tons and tons of beams that were cut with no acetylene to be had, nor iron workers to do the work. It's just physically not possible to cut that much steel in that amount of time, especially with no one to operate the equipment. It just didn't add up.
When asked about the presence of columns cut at a 45-degree angle, Danilo Coppe, Italy's foremost expert in controlled demolitions, stated, "I'll confess, this is extremely curious from a technical point of view, as this is a very similar result to the one obtained with cutting charges." Another kind of cut commonly used in controlled demolitions is the so-called V-cut.
This little V here gives it a place to slide off. That's all it does. And by putting them on at this diagonal, we're trying to fill this structure in this direction.
A large V-cut is visible on this chunk of structure from Building 7. The same chunk exhibits also a 45-degree angle diagonal cut on the crossbeam, with a lighter V-cut at the end of the other beam. Can you suggest a good reason why iron workers would need to perform V-cuts and a 45-degree cut on this piece of structure just to remove it from the rubble?
Could you? Would you? That is a clip from September 11, the new Pearl Harbor. It is a 3-DVD set. There are over 5 hours in this brand new documentary. It summarizes 10 years of public debate on September 11th, and it has the debunkers, it has the truthers, it has so much information. It talks about the cell phone call. I don't know about you, but I've traveled a lot now, okay, and I cannot make a cell phone call in a plane 30,000 feet in the air. That was the original thing, right? Then you have the multiple war games conveniently happening on September 11th. Then you have Building 7, which wasn't even hit by a plane. This was a massive 47-story steel reinforced. As a matter of fact, it was like the bunker, right, for Giuliani. It was the emergency bunker area. This beauty came down, I would say, like a house of cards, but it came down faster than a house of cards. There was no plane that hit that building. The media didn't even talk about it. Well, BBC. The BBC reported that the building had collapsed some like 20 minutes before the actual building had collapsed. They got their memo wrong, I guess. But the fact is that there were so many issues. Did you know that the World Trade Center had a power down for a period of time before September 11th, where the bomb-sniffing dogs were pulled, where the video equipment, the surveillance and security cameras were pulled, where they were shut off, where they had supposedly, there were witnesses too, they had cable workers, they had to rewire all of the cables. How come this is not talked about? How come the fact that people that were in the buildings felt an explosion prior to the plane even hitting? How come that's not talked about? What about the $2.3 trillion that Donald Rumsfeld said was missing from the Pentagon on September 10th? Huh? How come that's not talked about? 516-620-3602. This is serious, folks. This is all about the new Pearl Harbor. 516-620-3602. This documentary is not available anywhere else. It is only available to you. The filmmaker Massimo Mazzucco knows how you are a critical thinker because you listen to Pacifica Radio, because you listen to WBAI. You are not a sheeple. A sheep. A lamb. Whatever. You are actually a critical thinker. You go, there's something wrong with that story. Something just doesn't feel right. More importantly, it doesn't follow the law of physics. 2,000 professional architects, professional engineers, professional forensic engineers, and demolition experts all look at the events of that day with those three buildings and they all go, oh my God. Listen to them. Look into it for yourself. I'm not going to tell you how to think. I'm not going to tell you what to believe. I'm not going to tell you nothing. I'm going to tell you that this 3-DVD set sums it all up for you and presents it to you And they present the debunkers' arguments, too. And when you see them next to each other, you're like, are you kidding me? Popular Mechanics? A Hearst publication? September 11, The New Pearl Harbor, three DVDs, $150. You know, normally with a DVD, we ask for about a $100 pledge. So if you had three of them, it would be like $300. No, it's $150. And you can put it on a payment plan. It'd be $12.50 a month. You can make multiple copies of these to hand out freely. Do you know how exciting that is? You don't have Interpol coming at your house and saying you can't burn a copy of this. Massimo is saying burn all of those three DVDs, make as many copies, and get them out to people as much as you like. 516-620-3602. Folks, I have 10 minutes to go, and I need to raise a lot of money. And this is a $150 pledge, yes, for those three DVDs. If you can pledge more, I need like 10 people. I seriously need 10 people calling up and getting the Great Lies Dollar a Day Super Pack. That is a $365 pledge, or if you put on your credit card, it's about $30.42 a month. Okay? 30 bucks a month. 30, 42. Okay. If you can get the Great Lies Dollar a Day Super Pack, there's 8 DVDs. You're going to get the New Pearl Harbor 3 DVD set. Again, not available anywhere else, only to you lucky little listeners. Plus, you get the Great Lies of History 5 DVD set that have been offered here on Pacifica. All 8 DVDs, you can make as many copies of as you like, and that is available right now at 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. And I'm making a plea out there for the angels out there, the producers, you know, the directors, the people, you know, the big fancy CEOs who know after all these years with all of this evidence, who know that there is something really stinky with the official story on 9/11. You know it. And you have the wherewithal. Maybe you could donate $1,000 or $5,000. It's a tax deduction, my friend. You can write it off of your taxes. And it's nothing to you. $5,000 to some folks in this city is like a week's worth of going out to lunch and having a steak and whiskey or cigar or whatever folks do. I don't know. I'm broke. I don't eat like that. But I know that $5,000 is nothing to you. And you know the truth. I'm asking you, no, I'm begging you to keep this radio station on the air so that we can continue to expose the lies that have happened and that will continue to happen. It is vital. Because if this station goes away, guess what? The network goes away. Then guess what? We're living in 1984. George Orwell will be rolling over in his grave if he saw what is considered journalism right now, what is considered news right now. Call 516-620-3602. Pledge at any level. Pledge at the $150 level. You will get the New Pearl Harbor 3 DVD set for a $150 pledge, $12.50 a month. If you pledge at the $365 level, you're going to get 8 DVDs in all. Every single one of them you can make copies of to hand out freely. And if you can pledge at the $1,000 level or the $5,000 level, I'm talking to you people. I am talking to the people out there who this is nothing for you. $5,000 is nothing to you, but it's everything to us. 516-620-3602. I want to get back to another clip because this is the most important part of it, isn't it? The most important part of the fact that you're supporting this station is that I have the ability to play these clips. Something that the powers that be, really don't want to have go out over the air. They really don't want this stuff to go out. But you know what? It's because of you that I'm able to. So I am asking you to keep those calls coming in. The phone answerers are rushing to the phones to pick them up. Ask for the New Pearl Harbor. You're not going to get this anywhere else. Go ahead and look online. You can't. You can't find it on Amazon. You can't find it on YouTube. You cannot find it anywhere else. It's only available to you right now for a pledge of just $12.50 a month or $150 for three DVDs, 5 hours in content. Before I play this clip, I want to just take a moment to pay tribute and recognition to those thousands of folks who did perish that day in those buildings. This is very painful for me to listen to. This is painful to any for anyone to listen to due to the fact that in this clip you're going to find out that it wasn't like the government said, where it was a pancake collapse where bodies were just underneath rubble, underneath floors that just collapsed. Those buildings were pulverized into dust. And I want you to wrap your head around this. It wasn't just cement that was pulverized into dust. We're talking office furniture, clocks, computers, desks, phones, filing cabinets, and human beings. People. The problem with the official story is that these people were pulverized and there was hardly any recognizable parts left of them. There was hardly enough to even collect DNA. Those people deserve to have the truth be told. Listen to this clip. Keep the calls coming in. You're the only one that makes this possible. And I need my angel out there. Where are you? 516-620-3602. Listen to this clip from the New Pearl Harbor. 516-620-3602.
The concrete floors, the furniture, the computers, and the file cabinets weren't the only things missing after the collapses. The Twin Towers were also filled with people. Inexplicably, though, almost half of the victims' bodies seem to have disappeared into thin air. When a building collapses, the victims tend to remain trapped between the pancaking floors. They may be crushed and mangled, but in most cases they remain in one piece. In fact, on the morning of September 11, local hospitals prepared to receive hundreds of victims they expected to be extracted from the rubble. Practically no one arrived. According to the chief medical examiner, 2,749 victims died in the Twin Towers, but fewer than 300 whole bodies were recovered. Nearly 20,000 pieces of bodies were found in the ruins, more than 6,000 small enough to fit in 5-inch test tubes. 200 different pieces were matched to a single person. 1,630 victims were eventually identified, 800 of which by DNA alone. This means that for 800 victims, there were no body parts large enough to be recognizable. The remaining 1,119 victims were never identified. This means that for more than 40% of the victims, not even a fragment large enough to recover DNA was found. For
Joyce... We have to interrupt that clip because I'm actually out of time, folks. That is so very, very important, what they talk about in this 3-DVD set. Not even enough information to gather DNA. That is insane. Those people deserve to have the truth be told. Pick up this 3-DVD set. Make copies of it. Get it out. September 11, the new Pearl Harbor. It is a $150 contribution. It is available to you at 516-620-3602. I have merely seconds to go, and I need you to pick up the phone. Remember, you cannot get this anywhere else. You will not be able to get this anywhere else. It's being made available to you. Why? Because the filmmaker, Massimo Mazzucco, believes in you, believes that you have the wherewithal to change things, to make things right, to keep the truth out there. 516-620-3602, seconds to go. Get the 3-DVD set, September 11, the new Pearl Harbor. All 3 DVDs, 5 hours in length. It's a $150 contribution, and every single DVD you can make multiple copies of to hand out freely. And again, once more, not available anywhere else. I am still looking for my angel out there. I have very few seconds left to go. Call right now. 516-620-3602. Stand up for free speech radio. Stand up for community-sponsored radio, the only place that you're going to be able to hear this kind of content. 516-620-3602. Pledge $150. Get the 3-DVD set, The New Pearl Harbor. Again, not available anywhere else. Only here by calling that number or get the Great Lies Dollar a Day Super Pack for a $365 pledge. I've looked and I've seen pledges coming in, and I do see some folks getting the Super Pack, the Great Lies Dollar a Day Super Pack. Thank you so very much. I want to thank Ife on the boards, on our wonderful engineer today. I have to go. I'm Christine Blasdale, 516-620-3602. Stay tuned for more programming coming your way.
I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need.
Hi, Paul Fisher from WBAI then and WBAI now. Tired of pesky programs interrupting our fascinating fundraising drives? No problem. Don't touch that dial. We can sell you conspiracies and miracle cures till the sun goes supernova. Or you can help WBAI again become a station known for programs, not just products. How? Thought you'd never ask. Become a BAI buddy. That's a minimum $10 a month donation for each of the next 12 months. Help end the heartbreak of psoriasis cures and other lotions, potions, and nostrums sold on the radio by sending us money to make radio. Go to WBAI.org, our website, and become a BAI buddy.
Well, I don't know if I'm walking on solid ground.
Hi, this is Chloe Glickman, and I'm an intern at WBAI. Looking to get professional experience doing something you're actually passionate about? At WBAI, I'm able to develop skills in journalism, marketing, event planning, editing, social networking, and much more, all while working directly with producers and the management team. BAI is always taking applications for credit and non-credit internships, so get in touch today. Send an email to internships@wbai.org for more information. Join the team that supplied New York with independent radio for over 50 years. Help keep community radio going strong.
This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. We turn to Black Power Mixtape, a film featuring rare archival footage shot between 1967 and 1975, including some of the leading figures of the Black Power movement in the United States, like Stokely Carmichael and Bobby Seale, Huey P. Newton, Angela Davis, and Eldridge Cleaver. The footage was shot by two Swedish journalists and was discovered in the basement of Swedish public television 30 years later. The renowned actor and activist Danny Glover co-produced the Black Power mixtape. I sat down with him at the Sundance Film Festival when the film first premiered in Park City, Utah in 2011, and asked him to talk about the film.
Certainly, it's extraordinary. It's almost, when you think about something like, let's face it, that we're dealing with now in terms of WikiLeaks, you know, and how information is uncovered. This film is about information or documentary filmmakers and interviews with members of people involved in the Black Power movement.
Now, this was found in the basement?
It's found in the basement of Swedish television. It had been aired only once as a series, and these incredibly rich interviews, just from 1967 to 1975, rich interviews of men and women who were involved in the Black Power movement, but also Swedish television coming to the United States and assessing themselves and interviewing people about the movement. So you would have an interview, a young sister at the Black Panther Party office in New York who talks about the revolution, you know, or you would have a free breakfast for children program, or you have all this rare footage of Bobby Seale's in somewhere in New York. So this is what this is about. So it's a compilation of all these interviews, all these documentary films that we've done, all this rich archival information about the Black Power movement.
Let's play a clip of Stokely Carmichael.
Now, let us begin with the modern period of, I guess we could start with 1956 for our generation. This was the beginning of the rise of Dr. Martin Luther King. Dr. King decided that in Montgomery, Alabama, Black people had to pay the same prices on the buses as did white people, but we had to sit in the back. And we could only sit in the back if every available seat was taken by a white person. If a white person was standing, a black person could not sit. So Dr. King and his associates got together and said, this is inhuman. We will boycott your bus system. Now understand what a boycott is. A boycott is a passive act. It is the most passive political act that anyone can commit, a boycott. Because what the boycott was doing was simply saying, we will not ride your buses. No sort of antagonism. He was not even verbally violent. He was peaceful. Dr. King's policy was that nonviolence would achieve the gains for black people in the United States. His major assumption was that if you are nonviolent, if you suffer, your opponent will see your suffering and will be moved to change his heart. That's very good. He only made one fallacious assumption. In order for nonviolence to work, your opponent must have a conscience. The United States has none. Has none.
That was Stokely Carmichael.
Yes.
In this film, Black Power Mixtape. Real, rare footage of Stokely Carmichael, who later came to be known as Kwame Ture, going to Sweden.
Yes.
And talking about, well, perhaps the differences between him and Dr. King, talking
yes.
about the importance of yeah. action.
Yes. Yeah. Well, one of the things that, I mean, is you, this is very interesting. We're talking about 1967. So much has happened within the last 4 years since the passage of the Voters' Rights Act, the riots in Watts, the riots in Detroit, the riots in Newark. And here's Stokely Carmichael. It so happens that I first met Stokely Carmichael in 1967 when I was a student at San Francisco State. San Francisco State was very unique in the sense that a number of the members of SNCC who now decided were going back to school came to San Francisco and resettled in San Francisco. So Stokely, Ralph Featherstone, H. Rathbone were out in San Francisco State on a regular basis. And so to hear him talk about really what was at 1967 the beginning of his own transition, his own movement from certainly the nonviolence. We had to split in SNCC by that time. They had the removal of whites by members of SNCC, and all those things were happening at this particular time. And he begins to announce his new path, respectful of King, and I'm saying respectful of King, very respectful of King, as they all were, you know. Remember, it was King and Harry Belafonte who were who initiated the Student Island Garden Coordinating Committee, put up the resources for the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, and not only that, gave it life. So here he is. Here's the prodigal son breaking away at this particular moment. And certainly King had been to Sweden. King had traveled to Scandinavian countries to raise money for the movement, which is something that Harry prompted him to do as well. Harry Belafonte prompted him to do.
And, you know, of course, Dr. King had won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1964, but the footage in Black Power Mixtape of Dr. King, the King of Sweden,
yeah.
raising money for him, and Harry Belafonte in
yes,
Sweden
yes,
together.
Yes. It's quite remarkable because it was Harry's suggestion that that they go to Sweden to raise money. Harry, and certainly when he first met King in 1957, Harry, one of the most popular artists in the world at the particular time, was going to use his influence in the service of Dr. King. And certainly he had very strong connections with Sweden and other Scandinavian countries as well. So you hear, this is an incredible moment, you know, and this is something that people don't know about often, you know.
And now you, at this time, as you said, San Francisco State, people have heard a lot about Columbia and the student strikes, but the first big shutdown of a university is your own, and you were one of the leaders of it.
Well, yes, San Francisco State, 1968. And a part of this was, we're all moving in some sort of way. The BSU, when I came to San Francisco State in 1966, it was beginning to make its own transition, you know. And why this film was important for me was the fact that it is also my moment or my transition as well. I had been raised, had been born and raised through the civil rights movement, and now as the Black Power movement emerged, we begin to assume that. In fact, we had invited Amiri Baraka out to San Francisco State in the spring of 1967. So San Francisco State,
the poet, and
we started, becoming the Black Art movement as well. So here we have the Black Power movement, as we identified by Stokely and the Black Panther Party, et cetera. And you had students who were involved as well, and myself and others. And the strike came out of that. The strike was an aggressive move by the Black Student Union. And we were fortunate to get allies in terms of the Asian Student Association and Hispanic Student Association, and also progressive white students that made it successful.
You were fighting for Black studies at San Francisco State just recently in Tucson, right at the same time of the horrendous shooting, actually a headline in the paper that day about how they were shutting down
Well,
but you guys really started the activism
it's 41 years old, the ethnic studies program. And what was unique is the first ethnic studies program, and the only one in any major university in the country. But interesting enough, the first time that I saw Huey P. Newton and had any idea who the Black Panther Party was in 1966, when he came to the Black House and was reading poetry at the Black House. Huey P. Newton, that's the footage we should have had, reading poetry at the Black House. And at the Black House, Ed Bullins lived, Eldridge Cleaver lived at the Black House. There were two people who lived at the Black House. So there was, you could see this, and now we're looking, certainly looking back in retrospect, but you could see this emerging movement happening around really what I believe was extraordinary moments of, as I said before, redefining and reimagining democracy, organizing, using those skills. Stokely was an organizer. Those members of STIX were organizing. So with the Black Power movement was about extending that whole sense of organizing and community organizing.
So Danny Glover is President Obama, or was, a community organizer in the South Side of Chicago. But he's taken a very different path.
Well, you make choices, certainly, you know, I come out of community service and community development as well. You know, I work for the Model Cities Program and the Office of Community Development
you
in San Francisco.
I
was evaluation specialist and program manager in the Model Cities Program from 1972 to 1978. And so through 1977, rather. And certainly, if you were able to, and this was a very key moment, because this also, as I think about it right now, it also is along the same lines, the parallels what's happening in the film, that there was an extraordinary level of grassroots democracy happening in communities like the Mission District in San Francisco and the Baby Hunters Point District in San Francisco. It's extraordinary. And certainly it was fueled, of course, by, I think, the sense of organizing that came out of the civil rights movement, and I think also was translated into the Black Power movement, the sense of organizing, the sense of empowerment that people could be the architects for change. And this was happening in all over the country. So when you look at Black Power mixtape, you're able to kind of reflect on a moment and understand the very core values of that moment, you know? Yeah, I mean, it was James Brown who at the same time came out and said, I'm Black and I'm proud at the same time. So all these particular energy was happening, and certainly, for them to be able to capture this, be able to, the Swedes be able to capture it, and looking from the outside in was a critical part of this. They were able to see this from the outside and ask very, sometimes very innocent questions. That's certainly that interview, that question response by Angela to violence was extraordinary.
Let's go to that clip.
Yeah, but the question is more, how do you get there? Do you get there by confrontation, violence?
Oh, is that the question you were asking?
Yeah.
You ask me, you know, whether I approve of violence. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense at all. Whether I approve of guns. I grew up in Birmingham, Alabama. Some very, very good friends of mine were killed by bombs, bombs that were planted by racists. I remember it from the time I was very small. I remember the sounds of bombs exploding across the street, our house shaking. I remember my father having to have guns at his disposal at all times because of the fact that at any moment someone we might expect to be attacked. The man who was at that time in complete control of the city government, his name was Bull Connor, would often get on the radio and make statements like, niggers have moved into a white neighborhood, we better expect some bloodshed tonight. And sure enough, there would be bloodshed. After the four young girls who lived, one of them lived next door to me, I was very good friends with the sister of another one. My sister was very good friends with all three of them. My mother taught one of them in her class. My mother... In fact, when the bombing occurred, one of the mothers of one of the young girls called my mother and said, can you take me down to the church to pick up Carol? We heard about the bombing, and I don't have my car. And they went down, and what did they find? They found limbs and heads strewn all over the place. And then after that, in my neighborhood, all of the men organized themselves into an armed patrol. They had to take their guns and patrol our community every night because they did not want that to happen again. I mean, that's why when someone asked me about violence, I just find it incredible. What it means is that the person who's asking that question has absolutely no idea what black people have gone through, what black people have experienced in this country since the time the first black person was kidnapped from the shores of Africa.
That's Angela Davis back 40 years ago in tape that was found in the basement of Swedish public television that has just been made into a remarkable film called Black Power Mixtape. In fact, her face with her famous afro is the poster of Black Power Mixtape. Yeah. Talk about this point that she has raised about how you raise the issue of violence.
Well, it's really interesting because let's go back just a step back and think about all these young students, the Bob Moseses, the Fannie Lou Hamers, the Diane Nashes and Stokely Carmichael, and all these people had gone through extreme periods of violence in the South from the integration of lunch counters to the burning and bombing of buses and the freedom riots. And even as they organized, had been beaten, jailed. I mean, it's not uncommon. And when we look at the murder of the three civil rights workers, Swan and Goodman and Cheney, they're all not uncommon to face extraordinary, extreme terrorism and violence. And to be able to kind of now with that, as young people assume another kind of position and understand violence in a different kind of way and reflect on that violence in a different kind of way.
It was terrorism.
It was terrorism. It was terrorism. I was even talking with Bob Moses and he said, when you talk about terrorism, I experienced that.
You've been listening to Danny Glover and we're urging you to go to the phone. We ask you to stand up for independent media. The number to call for WBAI. Please call in right now. Fill these phone lines. Let us know you're in the house. The number to call is 516-516-620-3602. 516-620-3602.
Make the call that makes it possible for WBAI to happen. You don't have to call long distance. That number is a number that WBAI uses. It is its lifeline for your support. If you'd like to listen to the whole interview with Danny Glover, of which we played a portion, excerpts, you can get that interview for $75. If you want to get the documentary Black Power Mixtape, it's yours for $75. Amazing documentary. That's what Danny was talking about. The documentary that has won many awards now, one of the Sundance selections of 2011, the film featuring rare archival footage shot between 1967 and 75, including some of the leading figures of the Black Power movement in the United States, like Stokely Carmichael, Bobby Seale, Huey Newton, Angela Davis, Eldridge Cleaver. The footage shot by two Swedish journalists discovered in the basement of Swedish public television 30 years later. We urge you to call in right now. We cannot do this without you. The number to call, 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Get the documentary for $75 contribution. Get the conversation with Danny Glover, the co-producer with Jocelyn Barnes of Black Power Mixtape. The conversation that we had at Sundance Film Festival headquarters for a $75 contribution. Put them together, $10 a month or $120. Both DVDs are yours, the film and the interview. The number to call is 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Make that call. Fill these phone lines. We cannot do it without you. Please call in. Let us know that you're there. 516-620-3602. Make that call right now, and we'll send you the documentary for just $75. You become a member of WBAI, and you get Black Power Mixtape. You're listening on the radio. You hear the audio track of video footage, and both the interview with clips of the film and the film itself. $120 for both. That number again, 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Please make your call. $120 for both. That's $10 a month. If you live in Hempstead, Long Island, or Hollis, Queens, or you live in Hoboken, New Jersey, or you live in Harlem in Manhattan, we ask you to call right now. The number to call is 516-620-3602. Hopog and Hicksville, you are not off the hook. Speaking of which, Red Hook, you aren't either. If you live in Greenpoint or Blue Point or the Oranges in New Jersey, or Mars Plains, Marstown, Mars Township, Parsippany, Whippany, White House Station, we're asking you to call in right now and let us know that you are there. Dover, Chatham, Chester, Montclair, Upper Montclair, Patterson. Please call in. Englewood, Maplewood, you call. We ask you to call in right now. We'll send you Black Power Mixtape for a $75 contribution. Keep the phone calls coming in. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. We don't have much time today. I played much longer of the interview than I actually planned to. But, you know, I get caught up in it, too, and I sit back and I listen to Danny Glover. You get the documentary, you get the conversation, or you get either one for $75 together for $120 or $10 a month. WBAI is in the most dire shape it's ever been in. Yes, we have to pay the rent atop the Empire State Building for the transmitter. That's first and foremost. That's tens of thousands of dollars a month. Even that is difficult. So every penny helps. 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602. We need your help. And if you want to do dinner and a show, it is a great way to support WBAI. In fact, if it's a $2,000 contribution, I know that's a huge contribution, but know that it's tax deductible. It's a charitable contribution. Just know that and know you're keeping it alive for people who can't afford to pledge but are deeply concerned about the future of WBAI and want to ensure its future. You know, for the more than 50 years, millions of people have supported WBAI to keep this independent media outlet alive. It's more important than ever. Even with the whole, with the internet, you know, there is a digital divide and people still listen to the radio. And BAI is ever more important in this time of corporatization and privatization to have independent media.
I think the media can be the greatest force for peace on earth. Instead, the corporate networks wield it as a weapon of war. We can do so much better, and that's what we try to do on WBAI. Please call. If you want to do dinner and a show and hang out together, you and your special guest, maybe your partner or daughter or son, maybe you want to celebrate a birthday, graduation, and anniversary, I'd love to celebrate with you and keep WBAI alive with you. Please call in right now, 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602. Keep the phone calls coming in. We need your support. We ask you to be there. If you do dinner and a show, you don't have to know when you can do it. Just say, I want dinner and a show. Then my colleague Brenda will give you a call in the coming days, say, when do you want to come to the set of Democracy Now? When do you want to have dinner together? And you'll let her know. And if you say, I have no idea right now, that's fine. You can call her back or you can email. And when you're ready, I fix my schedule around yours. I make sure that we make this happen. BAI gets the money, that $2,000 tax-deductible charitable contribution. Please call. Please fill the phone lines, 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602. Make the call that makes it possible for WBAI to happen. By the way, you can also pledge online at givetowbai.org. That's give2wbai.org. Give2wbai.org. It really matters. Fill the phone lines. Call in. Let us know you're there. Let us know you're standing up for independent media. Make that call right now. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602, and we'll send you a copy of this amazing documentary. Please call in. Let us know that you are there. It features Erykah Badu and Harry Belafonte and Kathleen Cleaver and Angela Davis and Robin Kelly and Tlaib Kweli and Melvin Van Peebles, Senya Sanchez, Bobby Seale, Huey P. Newton, William Consular, Emile D'Antonio, the filmmaker, and Angela Davis and Stokely Carmichael, also known as Kwame Ture, Eldridge Cleaver, Kathleen Cleaver. You know, their voices of the past and the voices of those that are alive today. Black Power Mixtape 67 to 75, a film by Göran Hugo Olsen, who was the Swedish filmmaker today, who found this footage and said, this is unbelievable that we have in Swedish television the footage of a movement, scores of hours of this gold mine of information. Black Power Mixtape, examining the evolution of the Black Power movement in the Black community and diaspora from 67 to 75. The film combining music, startling 16 millimeter footage lying undiscovered in the cellar of Swedish television for 30 years, contemporary audio interviews from leading African-American artists, activists, musicians, and scholars. It's an archive and music-driven documentary examining the evolution of the movement. We urge you to call in right now. We ask you to stand up for independent media. Call in, fill the phone lines. The number to call, 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602. This film, at the end of the 60s, early 70s, Swedish interest in the civil rights movement, the U.S. anti-war movement peaked. With a combination of commitment and naivete, Swedish filmmakers traveled across the Atlantic to explore the Black Power movement, which was being alternately ignored or portrayed in the U.S. media as violent, nascent terrorist movement. Despite the obstacles they were confronted with, both from conservative white American power establishment and from radicalized movement members themselves, the Swedish filmmakers did not cease their investigation, ultimately forming bonds with key figures in the Black Power movement based on their common objective of realizing equal rights for all. So the filmmaker Göran Hugo Olsen brings this newly discovered footage to life, introducing it to a new generation across the world in a penetrating examination through the lens of Swedish filmmakers of the Black Power movement from 67 to 75 and its worldwide resonance today. Please call in. Please fill the phone lines with your support. We cannot do it without you. $75, you get Black Power Mixtape, the documentary. $75, you get the DVD of the interview I do with Danny Glover with the clips of the film. Please call in. We cannot do this without you. Only together. Keep the phone calls coming in. We need your support. We could really use a dinner and a show contribution today. Please call 516-620-3602 or give to WBAI.org. Please call in. please let us know that you're there. Please let us know you're standing up for independent media. Make that call right now. Fill the phone lines. Your call makes a difference. Please let us know you're there. Please let us know that you're standing up for independent media. Please call 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602. Please call in. Let us know that you're there. Let us know that Democracy Now! Matters to you. Fill the phone lines. That's right. Call in. We've got a number of people calling in. It's the final time, folks. We only have a minute to go. $120. You get both the DVD interview and the documentary. That's $120 or $10 a month. Or pledge $75 for Black Power Mixtape. Please call in right now. We cannot do this without you, only with you. Fill the phone lines. The number to call is 516-620-3602. And final time, if you want to come for dinner and a show, I'd love to host you here in New York. You sit on the set of Democracy Now!, watch the broadcast, meet the team that makes it happen, meet the guests in studio. We tour you through the greenest internet TV radio studio in the country. And then I host you personally for dinner. And I can't wait to do that. Please call in 516-620-3602. I celebrate with you and whoever you choose to bring. I can't wait. It's a $2,000. Contribution that goes directly to BAI, or pledge $25 for Democracy Now! Bumper sticker. Final time, $75 for the remarkable award-winning documentary Black Power Mixtape. $75 contribution, $120 for the documentary and the interview. Please call 516-620-3602 or go to online and pledge at givetowbai.org. That's give number two, wbai.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
To say that you're tuned to listener-sponsored non-commercial Pacifico Radio in New York City, WBAI, broadcasting at 99.5 FM. And, of course, thank you, Amy and Christine and all those folk. And I do need to stress that actually an even better phone number to call than the one that I heard some of them giving out is 212-209-2950. Again, 212-209-2950. And did you think that I made mistakes last week on Hour of the Wolf? Well, this week, we're going to have better F-ups. And more like this one. Good morning. This is Hour of the Wolf, a weekly program dedicated to science fiction, fantasy, enchantment, and the imagination. My name is Jim Freund. Electric philosophy, we hardly knew ya. But we'll have the editor, John Clare, and Sam Jane, and maybe Thomas Bradford. once again, good morning. Okay, so this is what's going on. For the first time ever on the air, I am going to try to use Skype to reach one of our guests. This is something that's constantly done and dumb at WBAI, but I have never done it, and we actually do have our ops director in what is the other room here at WHCR, Harlem Community Radio, but we're WBAI. It's complicated. So, since we've been broadcasting everything through computer, and I have to do Skype through the computer, especially it's being a Microsoft product, they bought it anyway, we're going to just try it live on the air and see how it works. So, bear with us, and now I don't want to enter the number. You see, I knew it, I'm not calling a phone. I'm calling somebody's Skype. Okay, let's try this again. Sorry, gang. John Klima, don't you dare. Okay, search all people at Skype. Okay, yes, now there it is. And maybe if I just double click it. Ah, there we go. Okay, and call phone. Ah! It wants me to call their landline.
We don't want that.
No, we don't want that because the sound quality is going to be poor. Okay, so bear with me one moment, gang. I have to... Do you, Sam, do you have the email that John Klima sent us, which included his Skype name? There was a long, long, long thread.
I believe that I do. What should we do while we wait?
Talk about who you are, Tempest, and why you are... Talk about your t-shirt that you're not wearing today.
I'm not wearing it today, but I'll be wearing it on Friday. I'm Kay Tempest Bradford. I'm a writer of science fiction and fantasy. I was published in Electric Velocipede a few years ago, and that's why I'm part of this farewell to Electric Velocipede. And ever since I was published in Electric Velocipede, I've been really good friends with John Klima, who's the editor. And actually,
well, talk about the value of independent presses.
Well, they
have, although we'll bring that up with,
yeah, well. I mean, as a writer of science fiction and fantasy, my big thing is like, I'm always trying to read more so that I can grow and become a better writer. And just in reading a lot of different types of magazines, online, offline, you know, sort of major press and independent press or small press, I find that just the more interesting fiction, the more the fiction that pushes the boundaries more is found in the smaller press. And there's more room to experiment, more room to find new voices. That's what I like about a lot of the independent press magazines that I read. That's what one of the reasons why I really loved Electric Velocipede.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I want to add about the importance of the independent presses, the small presses, is this is where the short story is alive today.
Yes.
Many, many science fiction writers, including the two in this room, have been so far primarily writers of short stories.
Yes.
And it is through such presses that these outlets exist.
Exactly. We only have... what, three major science fiction magazines now that do short stories? But there are a lot of...
There are a few online.
But there are a lot of independent short story markets. And a lot of really, really fantastic fiction to be found there. But I think that a lot of people actually don't know about it a lot. Even with some of the online markets, I feel that not all science fiction readers aren't aware of just how much great... science fiction short story content is out there. It made a bad noise.
Yeah. No, hopefully it's a good noise. Hold on.
It's doing something.
Yeah. It looks like it was Aunt John. Are you there?
We don't have him yet. Well, I'll tell everybody about my t-shirt. A few years ago at, I think it must have been WisCon. It was some convention where we were having, where John threw a party. And John throws parties for the writers that he works with at Electric Velocipede and other publishers and whatnot. And I was saying that everybody needed to read Electric Velocipede. And so I said, you know, we're going to get everybody to read Electric Velocipede, even if I have to come to your house and smack you around to make you do it. And John said, we need to put that on a t-shirt. And so I was like, yes, let's put that on a t-shirt. And then he did. And he brought t-shirts to, I forget where the first place that the t-shirts debuted, but I know that when we had an Electric Velocipede reading at the KGB bar in New York City, that he brought a lot of them. And so there are many pictures from that night of tons of people wearing t-shirts that say, read of Electric Velocipede or Tempest will come to your house and smack you around.
Well, now, if I wanted, or someone from our listening audience wanted one of those t-shirts, what would one do?
I don't know. We'll have to find out from John when we get him on Skype where one can actually get that t-shirt. Because I think at some point it was up on Zazzle, so you could order it yourself. It may still be somewhere in the bowels of Zazzle. I wasn't in charge of it, but I have two of them. I'm wearing one of mine at the event on Friday.
Maybe John will be able to bring some to sell or give away at the event on Friday.
What event is that?
Tell us about the event, Sam.
So on Friday night at 7 p.m. at Blue Stockings Books in New York City on the Lower East Side, we'll be having a issue release party / memorial service for Electric Velocipede, so that the New York City science fiction and fantasy community can give a proper sending off to this really valuable and important and wonderful venue that so many great writers have been in and so many readers have really enjoyed.
Yes, the last issue is number 27.
27.
And so after 27 issues, John Klima is just like, all right, because he runs the magazine all by himself. You know, it's not backed by any major publisher. And, you know, even though he does have what's apparently a really great crew of readers, first readers, and other editors, he shoulders most of the work in putting the magazine together and all of the financial cost of putting the magazine together. And for one person to do that, it's hard.
No, 12 years, 27 issues, and 250 writers is an incredible record to rest on. So that is a huge accomplishment.
Yes.
So we are sad there is no more Electric Velocipede, but we are going to celebrate it by having a lot of candy and alcohol and food and caffeine and really great writing. So that is 7 p.m. Friday, February 28th at Blue Stockings Books in Manhattan.
Cool. And that's on Allen Street?
Yes.
On the Lower East Side?
He says as he
looks,
up the exact address.
but that event is going to be a lot of fun because we have about, is it like 10?
10.
There are 10 writers who have been published in Electric Velocipede, including Sam and myself. We also have Richard Bowes, Barbara Krasnov, William Shun, Matthew Kressel, who just was nominated for, I think it's a short story, Nebula. So congratulations, Matt, if you were listening. And who else is going to be there? There's 10 people, and of course they're all floating out of my mind, like the song of Skype.
Mercurio de Rivera
Mercurio Rivera is going to be there. So it's actually going to be a who's who of the New York science fiction and fantasy literary scene. And
1 second, are you there, John?